second year out of North Dakota State, to the sideline. Here goes Lamb. He gets free on the inside. C.D. Lamb. Touchdown.
Oh, it was quite a wide receiver battle last night.
Woo!
On Thursday Night Football. Not enough touchdowns scored for my taste.
No.
Or Al. Al last night on the broadcast was hoping for a few fewer flags and a few more scores. I think Al had the over.
May have had the over last night. Yep.
I hung around till the end of the broadcast. Certainly sounded that way. Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15 on Thursday Night Football. And while there was a rookie on the other side for the Giants, you heard CeeDee Lamb, 55-yard touchdown last night. It's a first-round rookie wide receiver who just got paid. Take him off the board if you were hoping the Patriots could go after a guy like CeeDee Lamb eventually in free agency or on the trade market. Malik Nabers on the other side, hugely productive night before he got knocked out of the game. We can reinvestigate if the Patriots did the right thing at pick three. And I already see it in the Twitch chat. Our guy Dubs985 is saying, all day yesterday you're talking about the Patriots roster and how they have the quarterback and this and that, and you'd rather be the Patriots than the Niners and blah, blah, blah. And now you're asking whether or not they made the right pick at number three. For me, I am not going back on what I wanted. I loved Drake May at pick three. But there was a lot of people out there who said, go get Marvin Harrison Jr. Go get Malik Nabers. Trade down and get one of these guys, right? Swap with the Giants. The Giants will come up and get Drake May. Mm-hmm. You move down, get Malik Nabers at six and something else. There's a lot of people who felt that way at the time. I wasn't one of them. I'm still not one of them. I want the quarterback. But it is hard to ignore what Malik Nabers is doing. He was unreal in that game last night for a guy who's four games into his career.
And we can all agree that his quarterback stinks. It's not terrible. He's not like a borderline quarterback. Or like, well, maybe he's good. He's always a little bit better. Like, no, he stinks. The Giants committed to him, and they shouldn't have. And Malik Nabers might be a guy just, what, four games into his career that is QB-proof, or he can help, you know, save a QB's job potentially. So when the whole draft process began, I wanted Marvin Harrison, but I also thought there was a chance that you might be able to get Bo Nix or maybe even like Penix. Like, I thought you'd be able to get one of those guys in the second round.
What? Bo Nix.
At the time, he was known as Bo Nix. He had not thrown any NFL interceptions yet. But then teams get crazy and they all get overdrafted. Like, I don't think J.J. McCarthy, Penix, or Nix in a traditional draft probably would have gone first, but people get so slappy for quarterbacks, and then there you have it. So once that went out the window and you weren't going to be able to pair Harrison with anybody, you didn't have a QB on the roster, right? You knew it wasn't going to be Mac Jones. You knew it wasn't going to be Bailey Zappe. You kind of needed the quarterback. But I do think a guy like Nabers and Harrison and maybe even Roma Dunze is proving that wideout is the second most important position in football today. Like, that is, you have to have one. And if you want to argue you can get one later, okay. The Patriots haven't been able to do it.
No, they haven't. Other teams can't. Right?
They have not. And that's another reason.
Teams do it routinely.
And I knew Belichick was gone, so that kind of changed the conversation a little bit. But you're saying Harrison and Nabers seemed like sure things. So maybe sometimes you have to take that sure thing, or as sure of a thing as anything can be in the draft. Maybe you have to go there because every time you've tried to take a late first or second round or third round receiver, you've missed. Even when you tried trading for established receivers, like Mohamed Sanu, that guy has come in and been terrible. So maybe you need those guys to prop up the quarterback. But I eventually got won over by the Drake May pick simply because they had no other quarterback plan at all. So as much as I like Harrison, did I want to see him playing with Jacoby Brissett or with Bailey Zappe or with who knows what else they would have shown up with? Like, I think they needed the quarterback.
Well, the thing with Harrison in Arizona, at least you and I agree on this, we both kind of like Kyler Murray. And I'm not telling you he's an elite quarterback, but I think it's not a bad spot to go into as a rookie wide receiver.
No, that was an obvious pick, and they did it. And
Brissett would be a bad spot.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is a bad spot to go into, and Malik Nabers is still producing. You think the Cardinals, or even Cardinals fans, you think there's any remorse watching what Nabers is doing versus Marvin Harrison Jr., who had a terrible week one but has been good since?
Yeah, not yet. I think Harrison was so good, and I know there were you like Nabers more.
I mean, look, I wasn't anti-Harrison or anything, but I preferred Nabers in the draft.
But
yeah.
Most people, I would say 95% of people wanted Harrison, so I'm not going to overreact after three games. Plus, he did have a good game. Like, he's, or a couple good games, Harrison has. He scored touchdowns the last 2 weeks.
His week two, he was
a beast.
Awesome. Yeah, and he scored again last week.
So, I mean, I think this could be one of those drafts where both are great. Right, like both are great. Like, maybe we were talking yesterday, maybe two of these quarterbacks end up being great, or maybe even more. And who knows, maybe Roma Dunze, who was good last week, sort of maybe a breakout game for him. Maybe they all end up being good. There's been certain drafts. Like, wasn't Odell Beckham and Mike Evans and like a couple other guys were all in the same draft?
Absurd rookie draft.
All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And they even had guys that were good and then kind of fell off a little bit, but they were good right away. But anyway, like, we've seen it. We've seen drafts where one position has a bunch of guys that are good. And, you know, you have three wideouts taken in the top 10. Like, I definitely think there's a chance they're all going to be really good.
Man, that was 2014? I'm like, oh, that was pretty recent. That was 2014.
Was that Davante Adams' second round?
Hang on. So it was Watkins at four. Didn't work out.
No, not really.
Ironically, he's the one where, you know, you take him highest. He didn't work out. Mike Evans, probably a future Hall of Famer, I was just going to say, at pick seven.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham, burned hot. He's tailed off.
Burned real hot, though. Like, for a four-year stretch, he was one of the best, like, rookie contract receivers ever.
That was pick 12. Brandon Cooks, pick 20.
He's a good player.
I mean, he's bounced around to a lot of teams, a lot of thousand-yard years. It's a good pick.
Still playing.
Kelvin Benjamin didn't work.
No, but he did for a second. He was good for – I bet his rookie year he was good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then he fell off.
Okay, then you get into some guys who didn't work out so much. Early second round. Marquise Lee, Jordan Matthews, Paul Richardson.
Jordan Matthews, another guy, really good early.
Second round, end of the second round, early third round. Or I'm sorry, it's all second round. Davante Adams, you were right, pick 53.
So, I mean, that's another Hall of Famer.
Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry.
So two good players, like Pro Bowlers, but you have two Hall of Famers, like Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. So not just like two good players. You probably had six good receivers in that draft.
Yeah. Kelvin Benjamin had two good years.
He did
1,000 yards his rookie year, then 941 in the second.
He got a little out of shape, didn't he?
Well, he looks like a tight end.
Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce situation.
Yeah, say he needed to stop eating biscuits or something like that?
He ate a lot of biscuits. That's fine. But then Jordan Matthews is another guy that was really good for like a hot second. But anyway, the point is like, you had how many Pro Bowlers out of that draft that position?
This could be that level of draft.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Allen Robinson and Jarvis Landry, they're not what they were, but those guys were Pro Bowlers. Davante Adams.
1,000 yards.
As you said, Evans, Adams, Hall of Famers. You know, Brandon Cooks, I'm not sure has ever made a Pro Bowl, but good receiver for a long time.
And maybe it's
that could be this receiver class. Yeah.
Do you think this receiver class will be better than the quarterback class? It's easier to be, probably. But, like, I think.
I don't. We just said yesterday.
QBs. I like the QBs too. I like them both.
I think this class could be, I think it's closer to the 2000 quarterback class than it is 2001, where you went 0 for 5.
2020.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
2000.
I'm sorry.
I'm like Tim Couch?
No. Sorry. 2020.
I don't even know if that was Couch.
Versus 2021.
Yeah.
You were 5 for 5 in 2020.
Yeah, yeah,
you were maybe 0 for 5 in 2021.
Right.
I think you're closer to that 2020 class. We just talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I did too.
So I like this receiver class. I do.
I think they're going to be all good. But well, at least three anyway.
But if Jaden Daniels
maybe four. Brian Thomas. I think there's going to be four good.
Fair. But if Jaden Daniels and Drake May are what I think they're going to be.
And if Bo Nix is as good as everybody thinks.
Maybe. If those two are good, I'll take two great potentially quarterbacks over four good receivers. Does that make sense?
But when you look at Kelvin Benjamin, guys, he's 6'5". He's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
That's a good breakdown.
Meanwhile, that's a guy who couldn't even walk on the sideline. He had to zoom back and forth on his, whatever. Yeah, the booger said.
The texter said he was never good. He had 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns as a rookie. It's good.
Was he on the 15-1 Cam Newton team? Was he on one of those?
He was on
the Panthers.
A great year with the Panthers. It was 2014. So weren't they in the Super Bowl in 15?
Yeah.
So they were 7-8-1.
That was pre-Biscuit.
Yeah.
Then maybe his. On the biscuit.
And then he missed all of 15. Maybe why they were good. And then at 16, he was back.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's a bust overall, but I'm just saying, like, that 2014 season, I feel like all those rookies were good.
Yeah.
And then some of them continued to be, others weren't.
Here's what I'm going to say. The risk on taking Drake May was on display last night. I'm okay with it. I'm not relitigating what the Patriots did. I like the Drake May pick. In fact, I love the Drake May pick. I do it again. I believe in him. But that's the risk that's on display. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers with bum-ass Daniel Jones throwing to him. That's the risk. Because you could have that guy and something if you move down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not just an either-or, right?
Yeah.
Like, who knows? Would you have gotten a future one? Probably. So you're like, would you rather have Malik Nabers right now and the...
If the Giants are moving up for a quarterback, absolutely you're getting a future one, maybe more.
Right.
So that's the argument. I like what the Patriots did. I'm standing by it. But it's hard to ignore Malik Nabers, who I loved in this draft. It's hard to ignore him. And
but
if you're out there and you like that plan, today's a good day to take a victory lap.
Yeah.
If you wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. or you wanted a receiver and trading back and getting something else. So you can jump in. 617-779-7937.
I think it's also a lesson because they've done such a poor job at bringing in a true number one that next year, I know everyone's going to be screaming about linemen, and they need to find linemen. Don't get me wrong. They need to maybe trade for one, or they need to sign one in free agency or whatever. But don't be afraid to take a wideout in the top 10. Like, they're going to be picking in the top 10 next year.
There might be two. There's two right now that are probably going to go in the top 10.
Yeah.
Nick Millen at Arizona and Luther Burden.
So, like, it might
then
be.
Then you have a Mecca Egbuka,
Luther Burden, if you watch the BC game.
Well, yeah.
Scored against him, had a good game.
Yeah.
He's at Mizzou.
Yeah, he's good. So I just think they need linemen. If you're afraid to play your quarterback because you don't have linemen, however, like, they might need to figure out a way to get one of those top tier guys too.
So here's the thing. I think you need to take a quarterback where the Patriots took a quarterback. You do not need to take a receiver where the Giants took Neighbors. You don't. What's the metric you want to go with so far this year? Yards, just to find, like, the top receivers in the game.
Okay.
So Malik Neighbors was the sixth pick.
Yep.
Nico Collins is second in yards. What was he, a fifth round pick?
Probably.
CeeDee Lamb was a first round pick, but like middle late first round, 18, 20, something like that.
First round pick.
Rashi Rice, second round pick. Juwan Jennings. Was he even drafted? I don't even know.
Maybe.
Justin Jefferson was in the 20s, first round pick. DK Metcalf, second round pick. Godwin was like a third or a fourth round pick. Devontae Smith, high top 10 pick. Alec Pierce, Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams. So, like, there's a good you can find receivers.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Certainly outside
but the Patriots
top 10.
Haven't been able to.
No, the Patriots may not be able to, but you can find your stud lead receiver late in the first round. You can find him round two. You can find him in some cases. Puka Nacua had 1,500 yards last year. It's a fifth-round pick.
Jennings was a seventh-round pick in 20.
Okay, so, like, and I don't know that all those numbers are going to hold. We're only three
I
weeks
I bet
in.
Jennings go down.
Fine. But my point would just be, even with the 49ers, Debo Samuel's second-round pick, you can find these guys. I think the Patriots made the right decision. But it's a day to take a victory lap if you want to. If you were in that crowd of moving down, take a wide receiver, wait to take the quarterback. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there on Jones and Keefe. We're taking all your thoughts on Patriots and Niners on Sunday. Last stand for Jacoby Brissett. Certainly feels that way. Drake May could be your starter as soon as next week. Do you give the Patriots any shot against the Niners to at least cover that score? Never mind win outright. You can jump in on that. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, we're going to take another crack at our four-pack of questions here on a Friday.
We will answer them.
We'll answer them, unlike Dietrich Wise. Stay tuned. That's next. Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Friday, WEEI. We'll get to our Friday four-pack. A four-pack of questions on the Patriots and 49ers. Questions that I think are pretty benign. You shouldn't be afraid to answer.
Shouldn't be offended by it.
Not everyone agrees. Dietrich Wise, chief among them.
Yep.
If you missed our interview with Dietrich Wise, you're going to want to go seek it out on the Odyssey app and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll talk to Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer later on in the program as well. He's TBD. We got a lot coming up for you. This Week in Review comes your way about an hour from now at 12:45. We have Keys at 1 o'clock sharp.
Woo!
So mark all that down. We'll also talk to Lou Merlone at high noon. Couple of texts here. 37937. That individual who texted earlier and said, what's this Bozo touchdown parlay?
Yeah.
They clarified. They were not saying, what is it? I don't know what it is, because how could you not?
Oh, what are our picks?
They were wondering what our picks were.
Well, we'll tweet it out and put it on Instagram, at Jones and Keefe, just because it's five picks. We're not going to go over all of them right now, but you can find it there.
I know that I dragged it down with our odds. There's no doubt about
Jones
that.
Jones going favor, but you know what? It worked.
It did. There's some truth to that. We also were talking about Kelvin Benjamin being a biscuit away from a tight end. Somebody said he was on the Eddie Lacy diet, which then
may have been. That was a rabbit hole for us.
It spurned an entire break of discussing our Eddie Lacy experience in fantasy football.
Yeah. The highs and the lows.
Which there were some highs.
Also trade for him every single year?
I had him one of his good years, and then I think I had him several.
Yeah, it was
his bad
quite
years
a ride.
Well. Yep.
You couldn't be happy with the man's diet choices there.
He's a big dude.
He was. Let's take a couple of phone calls before we get to the four-pack here. Libby is on the cell phone. Go ahead, Libby.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm not an NFL evaluator. I don't know how good May is going to be, but you got to say Wolf has put his entire career and reputation on the line, because May's not only going to be judged against the quarterbacks that went after him in the draft, he's going to be judged. He's also got...
I mean, he's not. I mean, the man's not wrong. Libby's not.
He's built well. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, Jalen Milroe.
Oh man, Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, I know. He's built.
Is built like something. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, we're not on HBO. You can't just say anything you want.
God's sakes.
He's just comfortable. He's very comfortable.
He was. That was a good call. I liked where he was going.
Yeah. He doesn't have his guard up like Dietrich Wise, at least he had his guard down a little bit. He was comfortable. We Howard Stern'd him up a little bit, I think. He got real comfortable sharing.
He sure did. Yeah. So his point originally was take the receiver now. Or at least I thought he was going to get there because it said on the call screen. Take the receiver this year. Take the quarterback next year.
And run and throw. He built like a brick house.
Carson Beck. He liked Carson Beck.
Yeah.
I'm out on Carson Beck.
I kind of like Jalen Milroe.
Do you?
Yeah, not in like the first round.
Not more
round,
than Drake May.
No, of course not. No, you know who I like tonight? Cam Ward.
Run and throw. He built like a brick house.
Is that like the Mel Kiper breakdown?
Yeah,
is that when you read the
like keep this handy for when he gets drafted. When Jalen Milroe is drafted in the fifth round next
built
year.
Built like an S house.
Like, all right. Keep that, Nick, when you know, the pick is in.
What do you got? Tell us all about Jalen Milroe.
The Pittsburgh Steelers in the fifth round have selected Jalen Milroe.
Can run and throw. He built like a brick house.
Good breakdown.
What do you want?
Yeah, that sounds like a good
I think
prospect.
That's what Belichick said about the ideal quarterback back in the day when he was writing his manifesto.
The Daniel Jeremiah scouting report?
Run, throw, brick S house. I think that was it. Is Drake May kind of like that, no? Run, throw, brick S house?
I don't know about that last part, though. You can run and throw. I don't know about
He's
that last
part. He's doing the best he can out there. He's
speaking of built.
Yeah.
You seen Jalen Brown.
Holy mackerel. I thought it was Photoshopped.
He really is. You're not wrong.
I saw the photo making the rounds because we were talking. What are you pointing at?
Look at what's dropping down right in front. Is that a Joro spider dropping down right in front of you? What is that thing?
He's just having a hang. That's a littler spider.
That's a baby Joro spider.
Now he's moving his legs.
He's
swimming right towards
you. Well, I like that he's testing you because yesterday you were like, oh, spiders don't bother me.
No, they don't. I don't really want to kill him. Look, he's
really coming in for a
hello.
Yeah.
Built like a brick house.
You can't see him because he's like really
big. Can you not see that on Twitch?
He's right here.
Oh man, he's like right in front of Keith's face.
He's going right down to the table here, sir.
Oh,
and a little hang. At least it's not like a mouse. We had mice in here at one point.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Hope you're not watching anything on Twitter. They're not supposed to be.
Yeah, no, they're zooming
I'm
right
just
in.
Looking at our video that Sarp just put out of us talking about the WNBA.
But no, Jalen looking stacked.
So he looks ripped. So Terp had a video of Tatum shooting shirtless, and you saw all of his new tattoos on his back, and you're like, all right, whatever, like pro athletes in shape.
Wait, we might have noticed the same thing in this. Go ahead. What's your point?
No, I was just going to say Jalen Brown
Come on.
What am I going to do, run him outside right now? I don't want him crawling around my hands and stuff. The spider just like shimmied all the way down into my lap.
I mean, honestly, I think you put the spider out of his misery. He's like, I hate my life.
He's like, not here.
After you.
He's like that Dietrich Wise interview. He's like, I had to hear the whole thing.
I was in, guys.
Take me now.
Guys, I was in here for the Dietrich Wise interview earlier. Like, just smush me.
I mean, dude.
Just end it.
I didn't want to do that, but I wasn't going to get up mid-break and put him outside. But no, I'm just saying Jalen Brown. So then Jalen Brown was also topless, and he was at practice. Yeah. He looks jacked.
Built like a brick.
Yeah, he does. I just noticed Tatum didn't want to have his shirt off around Jalen. You notice
I
that?
Wouldn't either.
Because Tatum was shooting shirtless the day before.
With a bunch of scrubs around him.
Yeah.
Jalen
like
Brown.
He's like doughy-ass Peyton Pritchard. Sure, I'll shoot with my
I'm
shirt off.
I'm putting sweaters on around him.
Yeah, no, he was layering up with Jalen Brown around him.
Here's one photo. That's just him
with his
jersey on.
Is that real?
His arms are enormous now.
Is that AI?
Looks like Jax from Mortal Kombat. Those are his bionic arms, but still, he's also doing like a, didn't he do a Bane caption? Is that what he was doing there?
Well, he said,
I can do a pretty compelling Bane if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
You may have a nap of the night, but I was born in it.
Scale of 1 to 100.
Speaking of Bill,
you're doing it on the battle meter scale.
Yeah.
I'd
there he is now. So if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube,
Tatum's like, where's my sweatshirt?
Yeah, he's like, let me put this on here.
Let me layer up
Let me just kind of slink out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, he is a well-put-together man.
Libby, how would you describe Jalen Brown one more time?
Built like a brick house.
Only one way to do it, is what I would say.
Pretty great.
So there you go.
Anyway.
What was his point? Oh, comparing the other quarterbacks. Keep an eye on Cam Ward tonight for Miami. That's a quarterback.
He's good.
It's a quarterback I like. Not the Patriots need to take one, I don't think.
Nope.
Let's get to the four-pack here, Keith, as you suggested.
All right, ready?
I'm sorry, Billy. Yes, let's get our first question. My mistake, Billy.
I was caught up two in the Jalen Brown
thing. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We're all fanning ourselves down.
Seriously.
Hosing ourselves off.
Right?
Yeah.
If you could take 149er and give him to the Pats, who would it be?
Okay, I want Debo. I love Debo. I know he's not fully healthy. I think he's going to play this week. He was at practice yesterday. I love Debo. And I think he would work for a young rookie.
Debo wanted to be a Patriot.
He did. I mean, he put it out on social media. And Bill said, no, we can't have guys putting things out on social media. And now Bill, ironically, is on social media. I love Debo because you can hand it to him. And week one, if you saw this against the Jets, they were literally lining him up in the backfield like the Cowboys were doing last night with CeeDee Lamb. You can hand it to him. You can throw it to him a yard behind the line of scrimmage. You can take it 80 yards to the house. You can throw it downfield.
Yeah.
I love Debo. He rarely, if ever, goes down on first contact. He's fun to watch. That's who I would take off that team.
I would take Kyle Shanahan. I feel like that might be cheating a little bit, but any 49er.
If you can take 149, I think that's allowed.
I would take Kyle Shanahan. I think he can
get you to the Super Bowl and choke it away.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's got issues.
That's progress, though. That's big-time progress.
This team won't even make the playoffs. Yeah. If you get to the Super Bowl and lose, you're knocking on the door. No, but my thought is, if you want to go best-case scenario for Drake May, he is going to have a better career than Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, all these other guys that Kyle Shanahan's had. So maybe Kyle Shanahan needs a Drake May as much as Drake May needs Kyle Shanahan, and boom, those guys go off and running. Also, I wouldn't normally say this, but with this team and with this specific player, if I had to take a player, probably Trent Williams, because then at least you have no more excuse.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, he's getting killed. Well, you have the best left tackle. So if you can't play Drake May with
shut
the
up
best
and play
left
Drake
tackle,
May. You have the best left tackle
in
the sport.
You have to play him. But I would take Shanahan, Trent Williams. Debo, like a skill guy, I would take Debo as well.
Love watching Debo play. And we watch a lot of my wife's a 49ers fan. Her dad was a season ticket holder. So we watch a lot of 49ers games.
Oh, he's awesome.
So I like Debo quite a bit. If McCaffrey were healthy, would anyone say McCaffrey? Would you say McCaffrey if he were healthy?
If he was healthy, he was going to be my pick if he was healthy.
So
he's awesome, but there's just been a lot of games that he's missed in the past, and I just...
Well, not the last couple. This is his first...
That's true. I guess more Carolina thing,
since he
right?
got to San Fran, he had been healthy,
that's
but
true.
He's now obviously maybe career over.
But it's also one of those things where with the running back, it's like, as good as they are... Well, how old is he now?
I feel like he's a whole nother tier, I feel like. He's
no, but I'm saying like you don't think he's going to break
we
down
were just
to
looking
30?
Up his draft. He was drafted in like 27. He's probably like 28.
So, I mean, even if he wasn't injured. Yeah, he's 28 years old.
Yeah.
So even if he wasn't injured, is he going to be good after 30? I don't know. Like, not many guys have been.
Probably not. Okay, so McCaffrey, a good example if, you know, he weren't on his deathbed.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Okay, what's our next question there, Bill?
Next question is, what San Francisco jersey, past or present, would you want?
I had one.
Wait, you answered that way too quick.
I had one. Terrell Owens. I had a nice 81 T.O. jersey. Was
great
a big
one.
Fan of T.O. with the, apparently he's a bit of a, he might be a dink, is what I've been told from people around the... around the world. But no, T.O. is awesome. He was so fun to watch. He's a big old receiver. He is an early example of a receiver making a quarterback halfway decent. He got Jeff Garcia to two Pro Bowls. That's how good Terrell Owens was.
Mm-hmm. So my answer was going to be Terrell Owens. So let me give you a... Well, first of all, my sister-in-law has a Terrell Owens, like the Shadow Box 49er jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With like the black outline, but it's like kind of...
3D? It looks 3D.
Well, yeah, almost like a shadow on the number, like a shadow box number.
Okay.
Phenomenal jersey.
That's nice.
I told Kat we were going to do these questions today. Again, she's a 49ers fan.
Yeah, who'd she take?
Since you took mine, I'll give you Kathleen's. Merton Hanks.
Merton Hanks, huge neck on that guy.
What
a neck on Merton Hanks.
Kat and I probably watched 2-3 minutes of Merton Hanks highlights. It's a lot of just
the giraffe
gesticulating your neck. That's really.
I don't know how he didn't
really
hurt himself.
I can't believe.
He had the longest neck that you've ever seen.
I don't think he ever made, never made contact with another guy hitting them on the field, he would never get a concussion that way, but he must have given himself numerous concussions just jerking his head around.
Whiplash effect.
It
was
seriously
an outrageous celebration.
Merton Hanks was her official
That's
answer.
A good one.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders, he was only there for like a minute. Is a good one.
I'm shocked. I would have put more thought into this. I could have sworn you were going to go Ricky Waters. So
I thought
I knew where you were going to go.
So T.O. is one of the few guys that I would take over Ricky Waters. Yeah. I actually had a Ricky Waters jersey his first year in Philly. So it was right after he left San Francisco. He went to Philly. I have that one, but he didn't really pan out in Philly at all.
Okay.
But, there's some good ones. Niners have a storied history.
I was going to go Primetime.
Primetime,
yeah. I loved it.
He was so good for that, was it 1 year in San Francisco?
I had his Dallas one. I had the white Dallas
one. Oh, you did?
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
Huge Deion honk.
Yep. Neon Deion. My buddy's calling a Keon White Neon Keon. Maybe we can get that.
I don't know if that's going to get going.
Get that to catch on.
It's worth a shot.
Neon Keon White. So there you go, Deion. No, you'd think there's a lot of good options on the 49ers.
No.
But don't you dare ask that to any current Patriots.
Nope.
What's our next question, Billy?
Could the 49ers make the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
For sure.
They were just in it last year. You know, I think the question, like, I'm not picking them to win it. Like, I think whether it's Kansas City, I actually like Green Bay once Jordan Love comes back. I like Green Bay coming out of the NFC this year. I think it's could be like an old school, you know, Green Bay San Francisco conference championship game this year. I still think there's something up with Kyle Shanahan in the big games. I also don't entirely trust Brock Purdy as good as he's been overall. So they can definitely win. They're one of five. They weren't in our top tier when we did it on Tuesday, but they were in the next one down, right? They were in the Rams.
Yeah,
well,
I think they're loser.
My bad.
Tier is where we had.
But like the expectation for them, that's where it should be.
So the question is, can they win the Super Bowl? Sure, they can. What if I asked you, would you bet on them to win the Super Bowl?
No,
me neither.
No,
I don't feel good about that. They're one of the most talented teams in the league. Bad vibes around this team all offseason. Whether it was the contract with Ayuk, whether it's the injury situation with McCaffrey. Purdy's contract is looming. Super Bowl hangover. I wouldn't wager on them to do it. But, yeah, could they? They're one of the most talented teams in football. Yeah, they certainly could.
Okay, last one. First thing you think of when you hear San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, I'm going to say Candlestick Park. And that place is no longer here. Maybe it ties in with the Oakland Coliseum. Maybe this is clouding my my thought process. Because people are, like, eulogizing the Oakland Coliseum, which is very funny to me.
Oh, they loved it.
Like, we have to pretend to care about
it. The place was full all the time.
The stupid Oakland A's and the stupid Oakland Coliseum. Yeah, like, it's just, like, eulogizing Oakland and the A's and the Coliseum was just very funny to me. Like, I'm watching SportsCenter last night, and I'm on Twitter, and people are like, oh, my God. I forget Jeff Passan's tweet, but it was so annoying and nauseating. He's like, history will sneer that they move the Oakland A's. I'm like, will it?
People will move on.
Over the stupid Oakland A's and the stupid Oakland Coliseum. People would you get on. Over yourself?
It is a cool uniform. That will be missed. I like the yellow and green combo, but people move on.
30 years ago, the A's were kind of cool in the early 90s. Since then, no one cares.
About the Supersonics.
But same.
I was way more bummed.
So my only reason I'm bringing this up, I went to Candlestick Park. You know, early on when Kat and I were dating. I couldn't believe how much of a dump that place was. And my father-in-law, my wife, my sister-in-law, they're all upset about Candlestick going away. I'm like, guys, this place is a dump.
You need to
This place is a hole. Yeah. You need to get rid of this stupid stadium and move on.
Bad.
I know there's a lot of history here, but this place is – I couldn't believe how – it was Foxborough Stadium. It was horrible. I mean, without the aluminum seats or bleachers, it was bad. It was terrible.
Yeah, no, they need to upgrade. No, the first thing I think of – and this is an age thing because, you know – I think for a lot of people, it would be Montana and Rice, right? And, like, specifically the Super Bowls that they won and how dominant Rice was. But for me, when Steve Young won that Super Bowl, it was another one in a long line of blowout Super Bowls. But I think I was 10, so that one, like, sticks out in my memory. Like, Steve Young just lighting up the Chargers. And just they dominated that. They scored a million points. Ricky Waters was good on that team, but they were just so dominant for that year in 94.
I was pulling hard for the Chargers in that Super Bowl. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I never rooted for the
Stan
Cowboys
Humphreys,
or the Niners or any of the Natron Means
Natron
business.
I was just going to say that. Junior Seau, the late Junior Seau was not my favorite, but he was on that team.
Yeah, yeah.
Harrison was on that team.
Neil Smith? Good question. Was he?
Neil Smith was on the Chiefs at that point, I think.
Mm. No, they had... what was his name? O'Neal was his last name, I think. He was
O'Neal? O'Neal Smith.
O'Neal. No. His last name was O'Neal. Not Smith. Who's the other guy on that Chargers team? Come on.
Delpha O'Neal. No, Neil Smith.
Rodney Harrison was a rookie, I think, on that team.
Neil Smith played for the Chargers, but it wasn't then.
Who am I thinking of? Dean Lineman. Leslie O'Neal.
Leslie O'Neal
was a beast.
Yeah.
He was a nice player. Stan the Man Humphreys, like you said.
Yeah. I was pulling for him hard. That was the last.
Sean Jefferson was on that squad too.
That was one of the last. You kind of referenced this. That was one of the last blowout Super Bowls for a while.
They got good. Well, the Patriots helped bring them good.
You had the era of the Cowboys just dumping on Buffalo in those Super Bowls. You had that Chargers Niners one, but then you got a lot of competitive Super Bowls for a long time. Giants and Ravens notwithstanding.
No,
you got a lot of competitive
Packers
kind of
smacked the Pats in that one.
It's true. They did. The final score, I think, was very misleading in that Super Bowl. I think it was 35-21, something like that.
Yep.
But that was more of a beatdown than it would suggest. There you go. That's our Friday 4-pack.
Love it.
Each and every week at this time here on Jones and Keefe. Some people are offended by the questions in there. Most are willing to answer them. We'll get to Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock. We have Lou Merlone at high noon. And you know the leads on the Greg Hill Show. We'll revisit in Misleading next.
It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. It is Misleading. We revisit something discussed on the Greg Hill Show earlier today. We talked about earlier this hour, actually, the idea that the Patriots should go back and look at what they did at number three, and would they be better off by taking a wide receiver? Once again, Keith, your stance on that would be what?
They should have taken the quarterback just because there was no other plan. I think if you could have sold me on anybody else that was better to play quarterback, I would have been happy with Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers trading down and getting it. But I didn't want to wait a year. That was what a lot of people said, like, wait a year. Because you don't really know how the year is going to shake out. Is it going to be the year where Kenny Pickett's the best quarterback available? I know there's guys, but sometimes the stock goes up, sometimes the stock goes way down. You know, we had a caller talk about Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe. Like, I think Drake May's better. Now, he talked very highly about Jalen Milroe. But I think Drake May's better than those guys. So as soon as you realized players like Nix or Penix were going to be long gone by the second round pick, I then flipped my tune. I loved Marvin Harrison, and I think he's going to be a great player. But with, at the time, what, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, maybe Jacoby Brissett? Like, no. Like, you need to address the most important position.
And so, to me, hopefully you're never up here again, right? Hopefully you're never drafting third again. And you might be, based on the way things look last week, and based on how I think things are going to go against San Fran. But if you get stomped by the Niners, I think long-term that's actually a good thing. Short-term, it'll be unwatchable this weekend and painful in my household with my wife cheering on the 49ers. We'll probably get the kid on board with it. And so if you can put up with one more week of Jacoby Brissett and getting stomped, I think long-term it's good because you'll go to Drake May, and I think you can turn things around, certainly in terms of not drafting around the top five picks, not being at number three again.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say is you have to take the quarterback while you're there. Hopefully you're never that high again. This is your opportunity to get your quarterback. You may miss out on a Malik Nabers or a Marvin Harrison Jr. or even a Roma Dunze. But those guys, that level of receiver, if they all hit, that's easier to find mid-first round, where you'll certainly be drafting again next year, or late first round. Never mind second, third, fourth, fifth round. The Amon-Ra St. Browns, the Puka Nacuas. And not that the Patriots have a great track record of that, but you'll have an opportunity to get another receiver. You might not have another opportunity to be in the top five taking one of those quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I'm still happy they took that swing. I'll just tell you, the risk is missing out on a guy like Nabers, who looked incredible last night and has looked incredible to start.
But I also think it's important to point out that taking Drake May in this draft was also how good he is as a prospect and how good, like, Williams and Daniels are as prospects. I think you can make a case that the other three first-round pick quarterbacks were way overdrafted. Now, they might be good, but like they were way overdrafted.
Right, like, I like Penix. I never thought he was going at eight.
So
I
it's
never
not
thought
like,
that.
Hey, the Patriots needed a quarterback. They had a third overall pick in a year where the third overall pick made, like, the third best prospect might have was a quarterback. Like, it's so different than the year that the Niners drafted Trey Lance. That seemed kind of crazy. The year that the Patriots drafted Mac Jones at 15 was actually a bigger reach than Drake May at three.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, not even close.
Definitely.
So that was a, oh,
I
my God.
I thought May was going to go two.
He could have. Like, he definitely could have. And so the fact that
I think May kind of dropped to you.
So that's sort of different. Like talking about all these different draft classes and, like, oh, like, you need a quarterback, you just take a quarterback. If the draft, if Drake May went back to school, for example, then I think the philosophy changes and you say, all right, you either trade down because some idiot's going to take J.J. McCarthy at three, or you take Harrison at three. But you actually had a quarterback that was that you know warrants a top three pick. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah, we're already getting texts, 37937. I'd rather they take the best tackle and then the best wide receiver next year. If you took the best tackle,
no quarterback for 3 years?
Well, and you'd, by the way, Joalt is hurt. Like, that's part of the discussion here. For everybody who was raving about Joalt through the first 3 weeks of the year, he's hurt. So you're in the you're probably still starting DeMontre Jacobs this week against the 49ers, even if you did the supposed safe thing and took Joalt. So that's misleading. We do it every day here on Jones and Keefe at 11:45. We have Keefe's Keys on the way at 1 o'clock. Week in review at 12:45. Lou Maloney talking Red Sox here at high noon coming up next. Let's get to some phone calls here. Justin is in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Justin.
Gentlemen, I have a little bone to pick. Yes. I listen to you guys Tuesday. Great show.
Thank you.
I don't think it's fair to compare the Patriots and Commanders. Yes, both kind of suck, but it's comparing like two crimes in that stealing gum from a store is not good, but murder is way worse. So I just don't think there's like any type of comparison there. I think you guys are also kind of
well, Justin, hang on. Justin, were we comparing the organization? We were comparing the quarterbacks. We were comparing Daniels and May. I thought that's what we were doing.
Like this season, I don't think it's that crazy. They both have new head coaches. They both have new quarterbacks that were drafted second and third. They both have new offensive coordinators, and they both have bad offensive lines. I don't know. It seems like a pretty good comparison.
Well, sure, right? Like that's the gradient, right? So the Commanders probably have the 10th worst offensive line in the NFL. The Patriots have a historically bad offensive line. Terry McLaurin, Jones, you were kind of discounting him. He got 1,000 yards last year with Jacoby Brissett throwing him the football. Do you see how Jacoby Brissett throws the football?
It was Sam Howell.
It wasn't Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett was the backup.
Howell got benched. Howell got benched for Brissett. I have season tickets to the Commanders.
Brissett came in and had one in relief of Howell late in the year and had one good game with McLaurin.
Brissett didn't start a game. No, no, you and your season tickets.
But I'm telling you, but he came in and had a good game in relief.
But he didn't.
The Commanders were really bad last year, so I sold all of them. But the offensive coordinator, you have Alex Van Pelt, probably the worst in the league. Cliff Kingsbury is at least good. Right, so like, yeah, these things are all similar.
So, I gotta be honest,
but the Patriots are like historically bad.
I misunderstood what he was saying. I thought he was saying
you think
it's offensive.
Because the franchise.
That's what I thought he was saying at first. I thought he
was
saying
they also don't have Snyder anymore. Like right. they're more of a real operation now.
True. I misunderstood where he was coming from.
I think it's actually the best comparison.
Yeah, I mean,
the second and third pick in the draft that played the same position, and they're both thrown into or not thrown into somewhat similar scenarios. And Terry McLaurin's very good. Okay, great. Who's the next best skill player between the two teams? Probably Ramondre Stevenson. And then after that, it's a toss-up between a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
It's not that far off.
No, I don't think so either. And like this game of, it's not a perfect comparison. Well, no one said it was a perfect comparison. This goes back to what Bedard was talking about the other day. Well, you can't compare Jaden Daniels and you can't compare Drake May. You can't do that. Well, why not? They're both rookie quarterbacks. Is that's not close enough for you because they're mm-hmm. 2 years apart in age mm-hmm. and one guy had 50 starts in college versus the other guy having 27 or whatever Drake May had?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I get it's not perfect. It's not a ideal comparison. I think it's fair to compare the two. If you can't compare the team drafting second and the team drafting third, what are we doing? We can't compare those two teams? They're basically roughly in the same spot. I think it's a fair comparison.
Rookie coach, coordinator, and quarterback. It's like the best comparison ever.
Defensive coach.
Yeah.
New offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Rookie quarterback.
Right. Bad O-lines.
Both won 4 games last year. Can't do that?
I don't know. Like, who can you compare them to? You know, it's like crazy to me.
I mean, I guess you're not allowed to compare teams. Mm-hmm. So there you go. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to discuss what the Patriots did at 3. A lot of texts at 37937. Guys, what happens if the Patriots stick with Jacoby in week 5? If they stick with Jacoby in week 5, to me, one of two things happened. Either they won.
Yeah.
Or the offense took a big step forward.
Or Drake May got hurt in practice.
I don't think either of those two things are happening, but I guess neither of those would be a terrible scenario.
Yeah.
They're not going to throw for 100 yards, get smoked by the Niners, and start Jacoby Brissett again next week. They're not going to do that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think. If they do, we'll yell about it next week. Speaking of yelling about things, let's yell about the Red Sox next with Lou Maloney.